Chapter 7. Mila had the same raven hair as her brother, though hers was twisted into braids that formed a nest on top of her head. Her golden eyes were bright with intelligence and annoyance, and the dark cerulean tattoo was wrapped around her slender forearm. She was more clothed than her male counterparts, but her tightly wrapped sky-blue robes clung to her curves and left nothing to the imagination.
"Mila, my love," Gunther started.
"An introduction,"
she cut him off in an icy voice.
"Lord Evan, Princess Aliona, and, I didn't catch the other names," the Alpha muttered. "This is my mate, Mila, the Luna of the Sinan Pack."
The Betas remained in their kneeling positions until Mila walked forward and gently grazed her long nails across their bare backs. As soon as she touched each one, they stood at attention and kept their mouths shut. I wished Mila had been here earlier when they almost went rabid over the whole challenge thing. It seemed like she was the only one around here who made sure the wolfmen didn't act like wild animals.
"And you're here to talk to me?"
Mila asked with a sideways glance at her mate.
"But I've not been invited into the room?"
"Mila, please, just..." Gunther tried to soothe her.
"Why not?"
she demanded.
"The discussion is about me, and I heard Lord Evan say it should be my choice, so I want the full story now."
"I just wanted to protect you," her mate insisted.
"Protect me from what exactly?"
Mila arched an eyebrow at him.
"This obviously volatile dragon, or from making my own decisions?"
Gunther opened his mouth and closed it as he tried to find a suitable response, while I couldn't help but grin at the Luna's snappy remarks. I'd tried to tell him she should be in the loop, so her anger at him was his own fault. "Luna Mila, we can tell you everything you'd like to know," I finally said, when it became obvious the Alpha had nothing more to say.
"Please do,"
she replied with a nod. "I was explaining to your mate that we need you for the Redeemi Vincio ceremony," I continued. "It will help us close the breach." He didn't know what that was, but do you?
"Of course,"
Mila said, and shrugged.
"I can smell it every time I go to a fir. The stench is the worst on the northern coast past the Yasselstone Caves. But I haven't been that far north in a while because of the Kosin."
"Well, we took care of him already," I chuckled. "You can go wherever you want in a fir now."
"Interesting,"
she murmured.
"So, your goal is to close the breach, which I admire. But how am I supposed to help you?"
"The ceremony I mentioned will bind our power," I explained. "So when I go to close the breach, I'll be able to access your magic."
"I'm afraid there's been some mistake,"
Mila said with a frown.
"I'm not magical." "You have it in your bloodline,"
Aliona chimed in.
"Because you're descended from a noble of the sword. The sword's abilities are passed down in your blood, though you have no need to use them unless you take over the noble sword duties."
"Once I've bonded with all the other nobles of the sword, I'll be able to tap into all our powers at once and take out the leader of the underworld," I continued. "He's made his plans pretty clear. If we don't close the breach before he gets through it, he intends to burn Inadi to ashes."
"That's horrible,"
Mila said in a quiet voice.
"Why does he hate us so much?"
"I really don't know," I admitted. "He really hates me now since I told him I wouldn't join his death and destruction plan. He showed me in a dream, but I figured out a way to keep him out of my head."
"Will he be able to get into mine?"
she wondered, and chewed her bottom lip with worry.
"I haven't had that problem,"
Nokomis interjected.
"I'm a noble of the sword also, but I think the Demon King has focused his efforts on Lord Evan because he poses the greatest threat. Do you?"
Mila asked as she cocked her head to the side.
"Is it because you're a noble of the sword or a dragon?"
"Not sure." I shrugged and met the Luna's gaze. "Either way, he sees me as a threat, and I am."
"My pack could handle this Demon King," Gunther cut in. "We don't need the dragon or magic to defeat a beast."
"He isn't just some big bad creature," I said, as I turned my attention back to the Alpha. "He's some kind of magical overlord god in the underworld. So he has a lot of power and the demons to back him up. I thought I could take him on a couple of weeks ago, but the gods showed me it would only lead to destruction. I have to follow their plan to unite the powers of the noble swords.
And I'll help you,
Mila decided.
You... what?
Gunther gaped at his wife and blinked a few times.
I've made my decision,
she said.
I'll go do the ceremony and help Lord Evan build up his power to defeat the Demon King. We can't let him or his demons overrun our world, Gunther. It would be foolish to ignore the threat they pose to our pack.
The Alpha snapped his mouth shut, glared at me, and then faced his wife again with a sigh.
As you wish, my love, he replied through gritted teeth.
It looked like Gunther's eyeballs might explode from their sockets as he resisted the urge to tell his mate not to go. But Mila seemed to hold some kind of power over him. I wasn't sure if it was because she was his mate or because he was obviously in love with her, but I couldn't tell exactly how she felt about him. This Tunglian mating stuff wasn't anything I was familiar with. If we portal to the ceremonial valley now, we can be back before lunch, I said as the tension started to ease. It shouldn't take long at all.
Assuming we aren't attacked, Nike muttered.
Yeah, let's assume that, I chuckled.
Attacked?
Gunther asked, and narrowed his eyes on me.
What do you mean?
The Demon King sometimes sends his minions to try to stop us, I replied with a shrug. We kill whatever beasts he sends, and we do the ceremony anyway. I just take it as a sign he knows we're getting stronger every time. He doesn't want that.
Then Mila doesn't go without me, he declared. I don't like it.
He stared me down as though he dared me to defy him again. But this time I didn't have a reason to argue. Well, other than not wanting to hang out with a dumb asshole, but it wouldn't hurt to have a Tunglian on hand if we did get attacked again. Of course, I agreed. She's your wife. You should come with us. Gunther froze for a moment as he tried to wrap his head around the fact that I hadn't argued with him, but his mate was quick to swoop in.
Thank you, Lord Evan,
Mila said with a smile.
My mate is happy to ensure my safety on this journey. Now, did you mention a portal? I'll be doing that part,
Aliona replied.
I'll create a portal directly into the valley, so it won't take long to arrive or return. Have you used one before? No.
The Luna shook her head and tapped a long fingernail on her lips as she considered it.
I'm a bit nervous. Oh, it's so cool, as Lord Evan likes to say,
Lyca assured her. The wolf demihuman laid out the details for how it felt to travel by portal, while Aliona pulled her white jade hand mirror from her spatial storage.
I need to let my father know we're on our way,
she murmured.
Your father?
Mila asked.
Yes, he's the king of Rama,
Aliona explained.
So he's the one who has to perform the ceremony. He'll meet us in the valley.
The reflective surface of the mirror began to shimmer and wave as it changed from Aliona's reflection to an image of the king. He looked so tired, his violet eyes were barely open, and his stark white hair was pulled back into a ponytail at the nape of his neck. He was slumped in his chair on the balcony of his chambers at the White Jade Temple, and he looked at his daughter with both exhaustion and adoration in his eyes.
My princess, I was starting to wonder if you'd ever find the next noble of the sword, he said in a hoarse voice.
Of course we did, father,
my wife said, though her hands trembled.
We would never let you down.
I know, I know.
He chuckled, but it turned into a cough.
We must move quickly. The demons have begun to crowd the surface of the breach. I fear they can sense my strength draining away.
You think they'll get through soon? I asked with wide eyes.
I'm not sure, my son, Rodion sighed. I'm struggling to maintain the seal, and I don't know how much longer I can do it.
Oh, gods,
Aliona gasped and covered her mouth. We're moving as fast as we can, I promised. We're almost halfway done.
I hope we have enough time, the king murmured.
We shall hurry to you, your majesty,
Mila said.
I've made the decision to bind the Sword of Abundance with Lord Evan. I know it's only one of the swords you need, but I hope it helps.
It will, he said with a kind smile. Thank you.
I'll meet you soon,
she promised as she stepped back from the mirror.
Beta Cohen, go prepare my bag.
one of the wolves jumped to his feet and scurried out of the room without a word, and Rodion's lips curled up in amusement.
"Then we shall prepare for the ceremony," he said, as he motioned to someone out of view. "Castor is gathering everything now. We will likely have to travel on foot. I can't strain my power with a portal."
"I understand,"
Aliona replied.
"You could have the men prepare you a wagon, father. I know it's been some time since you used one, but it would be easier on you than walking."
"Indeed," the king agreed. "Castor is telling them now. I'll see you soon, my dearest daughter."
King Rodion ended the magical call, and Aliona slipped the mirror back into her spatial storage with a worried frown on her face.
"He's tough," I whispered. "Don't stress out too much right now. We just have to do our part."
"I've never seen him appear so weak,"
she murmured.
"We have to do something. Maybe I can make him some more coins."
"Good idea," I said with a nod.
"We'll make sure to do that before we leave the temple." Aliona dipped her head in agreement, but the frown didn't quite leave her porcelain face as we waited for Cohen to return with whatever Mila needed for our short trip. Gunther paced around behind her, and his betas kept their eyes on him as though they waited for him to make some sort of move. Then Cohen burst into the room with a bright red satchel. Mila draped it over her shoulder and looked at Aliona.
"I'm ready when you are,"
the she-wolf declared.
"Okay,"
Aliona said as she turned toward the wall. She began to draw a magical circle onto the grass and mud, and the Tunglian stepped back in surprise. The snaps and crackles of her electric white power filled the room, and soon the tendrils of magic joined together to form a circle on the wall. Where the wall of the hut had just been, now we had a perfect view of the ceremonial valley.
"Oh my gods,"
Mila breathed.
"And you can just walk through that?"
"Yep," I said. "Come on, the king should be there soon." I took Aliona's hand, and we led our people, Gunther and Mila, through the portal into the ceremonial valley. At first, the scent of fresh air and flowers filled my nose, and I took in a deep breath. But then the stench of the breach seeped into the space, and it made me growl in frustration. The smell of death and decay was enough to make my stomach turn, and it seemed the wolves felt the same way.
"Gods! That is terrible!"
Gunther snarled and bared his teeth.
"What is it?"
"The breach,"
Mila said, and looked at me.
"Right?"
"Yeah," I confirmed. "It's pretty bad up here. That's why we wanted to move quickly."
"But where is my father?"
Aliona asked in a tiny voice. "Just give him a few minutes," I assured her, just as a large shadow passed overhead. I started to pull the Sword of Healing from my belt when I looked up and saw Iskander above us. My fellow dragon's white scales gleamed in the sunlight, and he playfully swatted at me with his spiked tail before he grinned and lowered his large body to the ground for a landing.
"Brother, how are you?"
the white dragon asked with a wide smile. "Not bad, since we're about to do another ceremony," I replied, and returned his smile. "Another step in the right direction."
"I heard."
Iskander nodded and looked up at the slightly cloudy sky.
"I figured I'd keep an eye out for any other obstructions."
"By obstructions, you mean shadow spiders or corrupted beasts?"
Nike chuckled.
"Exactly,"
the white dragon replied with a wink.
"This is so amazing,"
Mila said as she moved closer to examine Iskander.
"I've never met one, let alone two dragons before today. Are you part of the ceremony?"
"No, milady. I just keep watch," Iskander said. "We've had some trouble in the valley before, but Lord Evan and I do our best to keep the Demon King's minions away from the ceremony. It's vitally important to the future of our world."
"So I've heard,"
she mused, before she turned back to me.
"Now, what can we expect from the ceremony?"
I laid out the steps of the ceremony, and Gunther growled once I mentioned how we had to cut each other's hands. "I know that sounds bad." I shook my head and grimaced. "I understand, but it's necessary. And I always heal us both before it even starts to hurt, I promise."
He really does.
Nokomis chimed in.
I hardly noticed the cut before it was already almost gone. I can handle a little cut on the hand anyway.
Mila said and waved her maid away.
What do we do with the blood?
We pour it in the bowl after I set it on fire, and the king says a few things and asks for the god's blessing, I continued. One of them shows up and—
Wait, one of the gods shows up?
Mila asked with wide eyes.
Here? With us?
Yeah, I chuckled. We've had a few different ones come to bless the ceremony, but that just tells you they're on our side. They know we're doing the right thing.
So, we're going to see a real god?
Gunther asked as he narrowed his eyes on me with disbelief. Most likely, I shrugged. There's been one every time so far.
Incredible,
the Luna breathed. Then there's basically a light show in the sky, and we're done, I finished. Do you have any questions?
Nope,
she replied and covered her mate's open mouth with her hand.
I'm all in. I'm ready when you are. We need to save the world.
All right, I said with a smile. Now, we need to figure out where King Rodion is. I turned to Iskander, who seemed to sense my concern, and he dipped his head before he flew off into the sky. He could go check the king's path from the temple to the valley and figure out how far away Rodion was. And it wouldn't hurt to make sure none of the corrupted creatures got to him before he could make it here. A split second later, Iskander swooped back over the valley, and I prepared myself for the worst, until the white dragon landed and pointed at the gap between the hills.
He's right there, he said.
As soon as we all turned to look past him, we saw the horse-drawn wagon carrying King Rodion and Castor rolling toward us. Castor sat in the front with his hands white-knuckling the reins, and as he slowed to a stop, I could see Rodion in the wagon slumped back with his eyes closed.
Father!
Aliona rushed over and yanked open the door.
Are you all right?
Yes, yes, of course,
the king mumbled as he opened his eyes and gazed lovingly at his daughter.
Just getting a little nap.
That's all he ever takes is naps, Castor said in a low voice. He needs real sleep.
I can't get real sleep, Rodion chided. If my hold on the seal weakens for even a few moments, the breach could be forever open to the underworld. We would all be dead in a matter of days.
Don't worry. We decided to make you more coins while we're here,
Aliona said as she helped him down from the wagon.
Then you can use those to help you like you were before.
I have a few left, the king replied with a meek shrug. They're hardly doing anything to help me anymore.
What do you mean?
My wife asked and frowned.
The demons are pushing back against the seal now, he explained. It isn't merely a matter of me holding it in place. It's become a struggle to hold them down as well. It requires much more power than what is held within those coins.
What if you had something more powerful, I wondered. Would that help you?
My dear son, I'm not sure. The king sighed. It couldn't hurt. But I don't know how much longer I can do it with only the coins to help me. What did you have in mind?
The items the Kosin stole, I said. They were magical things, right?
Yes,
Aliona said as her eyes lit up with excitement.
The Cup of Natura, Reynald's Mirror, the Chain of Morgard, and who knows what else. We can get those for you, father.
I dare say even Reynald's Mirror alone would help me, Rodion murmured as he rubbed his chin. It's a good idea.
Then we'll get them after the ceremony, I decided. We'll return Mila and Gunther to Zostia, and then we'll go back to Afur and get those for you. Anything we can do to help, Your Majesty?
Well, you can start by introducing me,
he chuckled and nodded to the Tunglians. Both wolves stared at the king with round eyes and open mouths, and Lyca shook her head as her tail swished around behind her.
They've probably never seen royalty before,
she explained.
Creatures of nature often don't,
Polina agreed. Why not? I asked.
They don't leave their nature,
Trina giggled.
Yeah, if we could live in the trees all the time, we totally would,
Marina added.
But then we'd miss out on you,
Polina pouted. The dryads tittered, and I laughed as I shook my head and walked the king over to Gunther and Mila. Alpha Gunther, Luna Mila, this is King Rodion, I introduced them. They shook hands and exchanged pleasantries while Castor finished setting up the ceremony. Once he was finished, he called out to Rodion, and we moved into position. Gunther stood next to Aliona with his fists clenched at his waist and his wild hair flowing in the gentle breeze. His green eyes were bright with apprehension, and he kept his stare on Mila as she stood next to me in front of King Rodion. The Luna looked confident in her decision as she turned toward me and waited for Castor to place the bowl between us. Then he set the dagger on the king's podium and stepped back to stand next to Nike. Rodion began the task of cutting each of the ingredients in half and placing them in the bowl as he named them. Mila watched with a curious smile as he added more things to the bowl, and then he looked at me.
"Fire of the dragon," he said with a tired smile.
"Of course," I grinned as I blew fire into the ceremonial bowl and watched its contents light up with flames.
"Wow."
Mila's mouth stayed open as she watched the fire dance across the bowl. And then she looked over at Rodion, who held the blade of Wistonia out toward her.
"I go first?"
"You cut me first," I replied, and held my hand out to her. "Go ahead. I won't even feel it." Mila took my hand cautiously and dragged the blade across my skin. I quickly flipped my palm over and squeezed my blood into the bowl just as my automatic healing kicked in. And then I turned my hand back over to show her it had nearly healed already. Then I held my hand out for the dagger, and she passed it over and laid her hand in mine. I always moved quickly when it came to this part, and I cut, flipped, squeezed, and healed Mila's hand in a matter of seconds. Then she examined her palm, and her mouth resembled a perfect O when she realized the wound was almost gone.
"Great gods of the land and sky, we present the dragon and the Tunglian for your eternal blessing, as they bond their magical souls," Rodion said, and lifted his palms up to the sky.
I tried not to hold my breath this time, and then the thunder rolled above us like a freight train. I looked up as a deep blue light poured from the clouds and washed over the grass where we stood. It looked like the day had flipped the switch into night as the blue light flooded the valley, and then a figure I didn't recognize stepped down into the cerulean beams.
"Great heavens, Lavetta!"
Mila cried out before she dropped to her knees and bowed before the figure. Even dumbass Gunther fell into an awe-stricken kneel as the figure descended toward us. Then the goddess stepped into the brightest part of the blue spotlight, and I could just make out half of her beautiful face, though the other half was covered with black hair that fell in thick waves down to her waist. The part of her face I could see had silky smooth skin and a bright blue eye that peered out at all of us. Her robes were almost the same black as her hair, but it featured images of a silver moon in various phases all over it.
"Lavetta, goddess of the wolf," King Rodion said as he lowered his top half into a bow.
"Rodion, it is wonderful to finally meet you,"
Lavetta replied, in a voice that sounded like it belonged on a sex hotline.
"Please, my dear puppies, rise and look at me."
Mila and Gunther stood up and cowered in front of the goddess of the wolf. She traced her fingers over Mila's shoulder, and I watched as goosebumps dimpled her bare skin.
"It is the greatest of honors, great Lavetta,"
Mila nearly whispered.
"I am proud of you for accepting this unique challenge, dear Mila,"
Lavetta said.
"I hereby give my blessing and that of my allies to this Redeemi Vincio ceremony. May you use this power for the goodness of our sacred creatures and the home you share."
Then Lavetta brought her hands together and bowed her head, and the bolt of lightning streaked across the sky and crashed into the bowl. I wondered how many of these ceremonial bowls the king had on hand, since it seemed like they never survived the ceremony. The goddess faded back into the blue light as the power of the Sword of Abundance flooded into me, and I was consumed by an almost indescribable feeling of complete confidence. I suddenly knew we'd have everything we needed to complete our mission, save Inadi, grow our family, and keep Hatra healthy and fed. It was as though the Sword of Abundance told me it would provide whatever we needed, and I believed it 100%. But how did I use it without the sword itself?
Ah! I can't believe it!
Mila squealed and snapped me back to the present.
That was incredible! The goddess of the wolf, here!
I must agree, Gunther said as he took her hand. It was great. Can we go home now?
Of course, I chuckled. Aliona still has the portal open. We'll return you home and then we'll go to Afur for the totems.
I'll be anxiously awaiting your return, Rodion nodded, and turned toward his wagon.
Your Majesty, if I may, I'd like to fly you back to the temple,
Iskander said, as the king started to walk away.
And I'd like to take care of all your transportation needs until the breach is taken care of.
Don't be silly, Iskander, the king tutted and waved his hand. I can use the wagons.
You can, the white dragon replied, as he searched for the right words. But I can protect you if you're with me. We were worried when you hadn't arrived yet.
Oh, stop being stubborn, father,
Aliona cut in.
Iskander was once tasked with protecting the White Jade Temple and its king, and that's you. Let him do his job and take care of you.
I suppose it couldn't hurt, Rodion sighed. But how do I...
I'll help,
Castor offered with a jaunty skip over to the king. He boosted Rodion onto Iskander's back, and the white dragon grinned at his success. Then we all waved as they floated toward the castle, and Castor bundled up the rest of the ceremonial supplies before he loaded himself into the wagon. Okay, we're all set then, I said, and motioned toward the portal. Gunther and Mila were quick to step through to their hut, and the rest of us followed right behind them. As soon as we were back in the grass-walled room, the betas seemed to let out a collective sigh of relief.
We're fine, Gunther assured them. Your Luna is a hero!
The betas clapped and cheered for Mila, who smiled but settled them down with a quick hand in the air.
Now, that isn't even the most exciting part,
she said with a dramatic flourish.
We met the great Lavetta, goddess of the wolf.
Wow! No way! Amazing!
The betas gasped and cheered again, and Gunther continued to tell the story as the betas gathered around him like kids at a campfire. Meanwhile, Mila walked over and took my hand with a firm shake.
Thank you,
she murmured. I should be thanking you, I said with a smile. You made a difference today. I'll get that breach closed before you know it.
I have every faith in you,
the Luna said.
You and your people are warriors, and you'll defeat this demon king. As for me and my pack, we'll be grateful when that smell is gone. Won't we all?
Lyca quipped. We all laughed before we said our goodbyes, and one of the betas guided us out of the hut, through the village, and back to the tunnel. We headed up to the trap door, and I pushed through it to lead us into the forest. Then I paused as I realized I wasn't sure how to get back to the border. Suddenly, a flash of black fur appeared in the bushes ahead of us, and I laughed as Mael skidded through the leaves to a stop in front of us. All right, you've got the lead, I said with a grin. We trotted through the Zostia forest behind him, and as soon as we hit the Afur border, Mael shifted into his human form.
So how did it go?
He asked and arched his eyebrows. Great, I replied. Mila did the ceremony. Gunther is a douche, but everything is good to go. Now we have a little side mission to accomplish.
What's that?
The Alpha wondered as he cocked his head to the side.
We need to find the Kosin's other hideout,
Aliona said.
He stole multiple magical totems, and we think King Rodion can use them to help keep the breach at bay for a while longer.
It would give us more time to find the other noble swords, Nike added.
That seems like something pretty important, Mael murmured. Would you like some help?
Hell yeah, I grinned. You'd bring in the pack for this?
Well, I couldn't do much for the ceremony thing, so I want to help in any other way I can, he explained. The nobles of the sword have always had a deep sense of brotherhood, and I want to retain that.
Thank you, I gripped his forearm and met his solemn gaze. I appreciate this more than you know. Let's go find the cave, Mael replied with a wide smile. He quickly took his wolf form again, and we followed him, Shaya, and the betas back toward their village. I assumed we'd stop to gather more of the pack, but it seemed we were picking them up on the way instead. More and more wolves began to trot next to us, behind us, and with Mael as we passed the entrance to the village and continued toward the Yassel stone caves. We should spread out, I said, as we neared the edge of the forest. Cover more ground. Mael nodded his furry head, and suddenly the wolves seamlessly split into four groups. They took off for the caves, and I looked back at my group with a shrug.
Guess we're making our own group,
Nokomis giggled. Looks that way, I agreed with a smile. Might be easier if I'm in dragon form. I'll fly above you and search inside. I stepped forward and transformed into my dragon body. It had felt like years since I'd let my black scales ripple down my arms and my spikes erupt from my spine. I grew nearly as tall as the caves, and I flapped my wings to hover above my people. But before we could even begin our search, I heard one of the wolves yelp. I looked past the stone tower, and I growled in fury as a giant winged monster swooped down and attacked the Tunglians.